This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an evening of conversation and song with a star of stage and screen, a look inside our local growing film industry, or an around-the-clock musical celebration, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Two-time Emmy-winning star of screen and stage and singer Megan Mullally is probably best known for her supporting role as Karen Walker on the TV sitcom Will and Grace and from Broadway's Young Frankenstein. Mullally will make her New Orleans debut this week as part of Mark Cortale's Broadway at Noka series with pianist and Sirius XM radio host Seth Rudetsky. Mullally joins us now by phone from Los Angeles. Megan, welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about Will and Grace. How did you land the role of Karen Walker?
Well, I went in to audition for Grace, and there was a big flat line, and then I went back and auditioned for Karen, which I hadn't really remembered that part from reading the script. They sent me the script again. I looked at it, and I thought, I don't know. You know, it's kind of similar to Christine Bransky on Sybil, which had just been on for a couple of seasons. Then I took another look, and I thought, I guess I kind of put a spin on it, because it was written much differently in the original pilot than the way the character came to be by the end of the first season or so. So I went in, they put a little spin on it, and they liked that, and asked me to dress more in Madison Avenue for the test at the network, and I just sort of laughed. I only had just very inexpensive clothes from vintage stores around town. Yeah, then I just went in and auditioned in my crazy little vintage clothing with my skirt cut off below the knee and a T-shirt and a fake fur jacket and some big platform shoes. And I got the part. Got the part of this very chic, you know, Madison Avenue woman. So,
what did you like best about working on that series?
Oh, you know, everything. We had such great writing, just consistently week after week. And we got to do every episode with Jim Burrows, the director, probably most well-known half-hour comedy director on television. It was a pretty unbeatable job for 8 years.
That's a nice long run for
yeah.
LA.
Yeah.
Now, New Orleans will bring new challenges, I'm assuming, for you in the Broadway at Noka series. Do you know what you'll be performing?
We do a lot of Broadway, I guess primarily Sondheim and a couple of other things, and then we do a couple of standards, and then we mix it up a little bit. We have a couple of songs that people might not be as familiar with, and then funny songs and kind of risque, if you will, dirty blues kind of things. And there's one song from a musical that never got produced called Karen the Musical that we may do. So Karen herself may or may not be making an appearance.
Now, I do have information here that you will sing a number from the 2009 remake of Fame, You Took Advantage of Me.
Yes. It was an arrangement that I stole from an old Elaine Stritch record. It's kind of a little bit more of a barn burner, I guess. They cast me in the remake of Fame in 2009 to play the music teacher, and the music teacher takes her class out one evening to a karaoke club to get them up on stage performing in front of people, and then, of course, is coerced into warbling a tune herself.
I'm a sentimental.
Let's go back a little further in time and tell us how you came to the performing arts.
Well, I just sort of popped out in a top hat and tap shoes. But beyond that, my mother gave me ballet lessons from an early age, and I ended up being in a ballet company from eighth grade through my senior year in high school. I was a soloist with the ballet company in Oklahoma City, and I studied in the summers at School of American Ballet in New York.
Now, you were born in L.A., but grew up in Oklahoma City, and I understand that your dad was an actor. Did he have an influence on your desire to be in showbiz?
My father was an actor. He was a contract player with Paramount in the 50s. He was an influence on me in the sense that he had a very outrageous sense of humor and was always kind of doing bits and being silly and making my mom and I laugh. And I do think that that influenced me, that comedic impulse, more than anything else.
Yeah. Now, you also did some theater in Chicago.
Well, I went to Northwestern for a couple of years, and I got cast in my first professional show there when I was 20, right around the end of my sophomore year in college. So I dropped out of college and I moved from Evanston, where the university is, to Chicago, and proceeded to do a bunch of theater in Chicago. I did a lot of musicals and a lot of straight plays, and I also made a pretty good living singing jingles for radio commercials, which back then, in the early 80s, almost every commercial had a jingle. Kind of a fun way to make a living.
And Broadway. You starred in Young Frankenstein, the 1994 revival of Grease, and others. How did you get your big break?
When I was 34, my phone rang one day, and it was a guy I'd gone to Northwestern with named Jeff Calhoun. And he was directing a Broadway revival of Grease, and he asked me to come in and audition, and, you know, I thought I was a little long in the tooth, and he said, no, you look, you know, much younger, and on stage you're going to look even younger than that. So I went in and auditioned and got cast as Marty. So that was my first Broadway show, which led directly into my second Broadway show, which is another revival of How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And I got the lead, the female lead in it, opposite Matthew Broderick. So in a lot of ways, that production was really kind of my first really big break.
And it led to
Will and Grace.
You've had an incredible run.
Thank you. I feel like I've been lucky to be able to do a lot of different kinds of things.
Yeah. Well, Megan, this has been wonderful. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you so much, Diane.
We've been talking with two-time Emmy-winning star of stage and screen, Megan Mullally, a.k.a. Karen Walker, of TV's Will and Grace, who will perform in an evening of conversation and song with SiriusXM radio host and pianist Seth Rudetsky as part of the Broadway at NOCA series, Saturday night, April 6th, at 7:30 and 9:30 in NOCA's Lupin Hall, 2800 Charter Street. There will be a special VIP ticket for the 9:30 show, which will include a meet and greet with Megan and Seth following the performance. Listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Time now for a look inside the growing local film industry through the eyes of those who are shaping it. WWNO's Brian Friedman, who produces Take Five, talks with a New Orleanian who's become the go-to woman in her field, having some of the biggest names in Hollywood licking their lips in excitement, or at least pretending to.
In the make-believe world of movies, sometimes even the food on the actor's plate is pretending to be something it's not.
We might be doing something like steak, and the actor doesn't eat steak.
That's Kendall Gensler, a leading food stylist for print, video, and now film production in New Orleans.
So we may have to take a slab of watermelon and paint it with caramel coloring so that it looks like steak, and they can continue to eat during the filming and live within their diet restrictions.
Vegetarian actors are just one of the potential challenges for a food stylist, which is, as Gensler puts simply, someone who prepares food for the camera. There's the ultra-hot lighting that melts anything frozen and dries out whatever's not. And, as Gensler learned on her first movie job, 2010's The Green Lantern, there's the occasional aerial combat scene.
It was a very interesting scenario because we were shooting a very large cocktail party at the Lakefront Airport. And there were helicopter fighting scenes going on overhead, and we had Condor crews up in the air. So it was sort of this real trial by fire.
Gensler's career path began, not surprisingly, with a love of cooking. But as a student at Europe's famed Cordon Bleu Culinary School, creating delicious food wasn't quite enough.
Well, I love making food look beautiful, so I always have enjoyed that as opposed to just the taste and the, you know, putting it together, really seeing the finished product look beautiful was a lot of fun for me.
Gensler took that love of presentation, as well as a degree in French, and started doing food styling for cookbooks.
Doing the cookbook work and doing that initial print sort of investment in that was a lot of fun. So when I thought, well, hey, you know, I could do this on a commercial level and started marketing myself in that direction, it just sort of took off because there are not a lot of people that do this type of work.
She began doing more print work, which included publishing her own quarterly magazine, Culinary Concierge, before venturing into video and television and ultimately the film industry in 2010. In the film production world, Gensler learned that food styling comes under the prop department.
The set decorator will send me pictures of the china or the trays that she's selected, or, you know, what candelabra are going to be in the room, the colors of the wall, everything, so that I can take all these pieces and parts and then decide what am I going to put on that plate or on that tray. Sometimes I'm given a little freedom and I can bring in some little pieces and that sort of thing, but usually I have to, you know, deal with the set decorator and the prop master and then make the decisions.
Gensler is quick to point out, however, that hers is not a glamorous job and it requires lots of hard work and long hours. And even then, sometimes her efforts can go largely unnoticed, visible in one quick shot, or sometimes not at all. But those challenges are overshadowed by the chance to work with some of the most talented folks in the industry, like Quentin Tarantino and Jamie Foxx of Django Unchained.
They built the interior of the plantation on the soundstage, and the dining room that we were working in was actually upstairs, and there was sort of like a gallery banister around the entire center. Jamie Foxx just started dancing one day with two of the women that were dressed as servants. And it was surreal because he was dancing to My Prerogative, and it was this sort of just impromptu performance that really, you know, let me and the rest of the crew kind of let your braids down, and the light mixers started making the interior look like a disco and this sort of thing. And it was one of those moments that I just said to myself, you know, how did I get here? This is unbelievable that I'm watching this and I'm a part of this. And I just can't emphasize more, being surrounded by that level of talent is just really exciting.
To learn more about the film industry in New Orleans, go to wwno.org or nolavie.com. That's nolavie.com. For WWNO, I'm Brian Friedman.
Brian Friedman's coverage of Hollywood South is brought to you in partnership with NOLA V and is made possible with the assistance of the Knight Foundation. Come Friday, there will be a grand celebration with nonstop music uptown as the annual Bach Around the Clock kicks off a birthday party for Baroque composer and organist Johann Sebastian Bach. Event organizers Albinus and Manon Prisgintis join us this morning. Welcome to the program.
Bonjour.
Hi, Diane. It's nice to be here.
So tell me, how many candles are we putting on this year's birthday cake?
328.
Oh, my goodness. And how many hours of music can we look forward to?
29. Nonstop.
29 hours of nonstop music honoring Bach.
There's a whole bunch of stuff that is very special and very indicative of the wealth of talent and cultural life that we have here in New Orleans. There's a whole bunch of reed players, such as Tony DeGrady, John Reeks, Ralph Gibson, and Ray Moore, classical pianists galore, Wilfred Delphin, David Rice, superb jazz pianists, Matt Lemler, Victor Atkins, Loyola woodwind virtuosi, the fabulous Xavier Concert Choir, the very excellent New Orleans Concert Brass Band, Loyola String Ensemble with John Montez, yoga, acro yoga, which is mesmerizing to watch, dancers, the Tsunami Dance Company, Michaela's Flamenca Group, Nanette Lede, harpsichordist James Hammond is bringing his own personal harpsichord, even though we have one, is coming out of retirement. He was head of the music department here for UNO for a while. He's playing French Suite, and the recently premiered operatic scenes of Dan Shore's Freedom Ride, featuring opera Creole. Members of the LPO, David Batiste playing that wonderful guitar that he has, rhythm and blues and all kinds of amazing music. Delphio Marsalis brings his Uptown Jazz Orchestra, which is very thrilling.
You're offering a diverse musical experience here. How does that come about in a celebration for Johann Sebastian Bach? You're talking blues, you're talking jazz.
That's right. As it turns out, we, over the years, evolved into having a birthday party for Bach featuring whatever music people are working on and practicing and are comfortable with. I think Bach was such an influential composer that he influenced everyone, no matter what form that they tend to be involved in. People come in with their own personal arrangements, sometimes jazzy, sometimes new agey, or roxy, and so forth. And then, of course, we do get straight-ahead Bach renditions. It keeps it more lively. It becomes a real learning experience.
You're playing organ. Can you tell us what pieces by Bach you may play this year?
I'm going to probably play a number of the big works. The Toccata in F, the big Toccata in D minor, Preludes and Fugues, the Wedge, the big G minor, probably a trio sonata or two, some chorales, you know, a bunch of Bach. Also, I'm going to do a fair amount of classical rock pieces. I've been working on some Lynyrd Skynyrd and others, Led Zeppelin.
And you do that because?
Because, first of all, I like it, and because I've had some success with translating it into organ.
What do you think Bach would say about his birthday celebration?
I would imagine he probably wouldn't want to make a big fuss over his birthday. If he did participate, he probably would play a bunch of synthesizers with beatboxes and maybe some of the more modern approaches to music, which we'd probably be doing some of that also late at night.
Albinus and Manon, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Diane, for being such a vital part of this throughout the years.
We've been talking with Albinus and Manon Prisgintis, organizers of the Trinity Artist Series 16th Annual Bach Around the Clock Festival. The marathon concert is held at Trinity Episcopal Church, 1329 Jackson Avenue, beginning Friday, April 5th at 7 p.m. nonstop until Saturday, April 6th at midnight. 29 hours of music with 300 performers. The event is free and open to the public. More info at albinus.com. albinas.org or trinitynola.com. And we have something extra in our Lanyap Corner. Irvin Mayfield and the Jazz Playhouse Review with special guest Kermit Ruffins will perform tomorrow in the free Wednesdays at Lafayette Square concert series from 5 to 8 p.m. on St. Charles Avenue in the CBD across from Gallier Hall. And this weekend, the Stage Door Canteen of the National World War II Museum presents My Way, a musical tribute to Frank Sinatra, featuring more than 30 songs made famous by Old Blue Eyes, with shows at 8 p.m. Friday and Saturday, and brunch seating on Sunday at 11. More info at stagedoorcanteen.org. Spring is here, and the New Orleans Museum of Art and the GNO Iris Society are celebrating the arrival of iris season. On Saturday, there will be an iris show in the Café Noma Courtyard from 12 until 4:30 p.m. And on Sunday, the Louisiana Iris Rainbow Festival kicks off with activities, live music, and demonstrations in the Bestoff Sculpture Garden from noon until 4 p.m. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.